when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Cool, Sam. Well, good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to Blood River Radio. That's right, you're listening to Blood River Radio. It's kind of funny. It's usually, as usual, I was talking to James Edwards just a minute ago, and you know how he is. Some boy calls at the last minute, and I was trying to fire the computer up and hit the wrong thing, but Sam and Bethany fixed me up, so here we are. Anyway, you're listening to Blood River Radio. It is January the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Can you believe that? We're already 3 weeks into the new year. We're going to have a great show for you tonight. Before I say the prayer, I got to tell you, I was trying to get the general, my favorite guest of all time, General Nick Glastovic. And I was talking to him. I was really worried about him. It's been about 3 weeks. I couldn't contact him. And, you know, he's known all over the world. And he's like me. He has more enemies than I do, probably. But he's going to be on tonight. And we have one hell of a show. We're going to go all over the creation. But anyway, people, as you know, before we go live, every show here on Blood River Radio, we always say the prayer before every show. We always will, as long as I have a part of us. If you will, people, bow your heads. Dear Father, Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen, God, Creator, we are in desperate trouble right here in the world now. Us white Christians, the people that worship you, the true Christians, you know, we are being persecuted by Luciferian Satanists all over the world. And right now it looks like they're winning. They have the upper hand. Some people say, dear Lord, that we are under chastisement, we're under judgment. I don't know. Could very well be. But if you will, Lord, please help us do your will every day. Help us win this battle. But dear Lord, even if we do lose, we will still worship you, God. And be with our side every minute of every day. And Lord, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, I forgot to tell the Lord that I want him to bless Blood River Radio, bless Liberty News Radio, and let us always do everything in his will and always give him the glory. Got a few announcements to make. Like I say, I was just talking to James Edwards. His dad is in bad health again, really bad health. He almost died a couple of days ago, James is telling me. So if you will, keep Mr. Edwards in your prayers. He's a dear fellow. He surely is. Also, Jim Zim in Arizona. I didn't get to talk to him last week. I'll have to call him next week to see if he's doing well. He's a great supporter, a great friend, a great brother. He was combat Vietnam, combat wounded up close and personal with the enemy. And also, just talked to Rich Hamlin, one of our big supporters and one of our brothers we rode to Charlottesville with. We talked to him. I talked to him about an hour ago, and his heart is really flip-flopping. He's going to have to go in to do surgery on February the 2nd. I think it probably will go back in, I think, to the Vanderbilt University Hospital, which is A1. When I worked at the Med here in Memphis, they were kind of like the rich boys. They have their own trauma center. We had our poor boy trauma center here in Memphis. I was trauma certified nurse. I was real proud about that. It's kind of like working almost like in combat, only you don't have incoming. But also, before I forget, well, that's about all the announcements I can think of right now. So I must have forgotten something. But listen, like I say, we have one of my great, my favorite guests on the night, and I'm going to read his bio. It might take you a few seconds, but I'm really proud of this man. I'm really proud to be a friend of his, and I'm flattered and proud to have him on our show. I call him General Nick. I can't pronounce his first name, so we just call him Nick. His General Glasovic. He was born in Zagreb in 1954 in a family of Kosovo Croats. His family immigrated to Canada in 1962, and he became a member of the Canadian Army. He served there for 5 years. The next year and a half, he spent in the French Foreign Legion. He fought in the Gulf War. Listen, following the escalation of the Croatian War for Independence, he returned to his homeland. Of course, that was his homeland, Croatia, and he joined the Croatian National Guard in 1991. He was a military commanding officer. But after the fall of Vukovar, I'm probably butchering that name, he was moved to Tomislavgrad. Anyway, get this. He was severely wounded around the heart in the Battle of Krupiņš. He's probably laughing because I'm butchering these names, I'm sure. His soldiers transported him to a Franciscan monastery in Rama. The next 2 months he spent in the Split Hospital, but he escaped and returned to the front. He was known as a very strict commander, demanding a high level of discipline, and that's the way it ought to be. In 1994, he became commanding officer of the 1st Brigade of the Croatian Defense Council. He participated in the Sinjar operation and Operation Storm. Anyway, the president there retired him in 2000. The general is a sitting member of the Croatian Parliament. Man, what a guy! What a man! I mean, he was an honorary guest at a party congress of the ultra-nationalist National Democratic Party of Germany. It just goes on and on and on. But anyway, General, I tell you what, I'm kind of in awe of your bio, fella, my brother. How are you doing tonight?
Hello to you, Eddie, from the Croatian capital. All you patriots in America, especially the veterans. And I think that my bio aside, I think we're all just a grain of sand in God's eye. We're all equal under the gaze of God. We have to do what we must do, because this fight against Bolshevik Satanism carries global. And I'm glad you opened your show with a prayer, because it's a reminder that we're abandoning a civilization constructed by Christianity.
Yes, sir. I know, General, you're a devout Christian. I know that you probably did. You come up in the as a Catholic general, or were you in like the Russian Orthodox? Were you an Orthodox?
Croatians are Catholic by they were part of the Holy Roman Empire for many years.
That's right.
And I remember soldiers, foreign volunteers fighting against the Mujahideen in Bosnia. I led a brigade there, the King Tomislav Brigade. And one fellow said to me, he was a veteran of the South African Army. He was an American. He was in the honor guard at Arlington Cemetery. And Fred Verdun was his name. I believe he's passed away. God rest his soul. When I asked him what he was doing there, because there was no pay, he couldn't even get two packs of cigarettes. We ate well, but no one was there for the money. I asked him what his reason was for coming. He says, if I'm going to die, I might as well die in the edge of the border of the Holy Roman Empire.
God, what a great answer. He had to be one heck of a man, General. You know what, General? Do you think soldiers are born or made or both? You know, that man had heart. I would say he had heart. What do you think, General?
But part of it, Eddie, you're being a soldier yourself. You've seen the spectrum of in the armed forces. The army, all armies have written and unwritten rules, but it's partly genetic, and I think it's part of your environment. It's your environmental intelligence, because as a child, you're like a sponge. You pick up the good and the bad, and then you separate the critical information from the marginal. And I think you can't be a good general unless you're a good section commander, because all the same rules apply except at a lower level.
You know, I've often wondered that. I won't say I was friends. I was acquainted with the Colonel David S. Hackworth. I've mentioned his name on the show before, and he's, bless his heart, he's passed away. But he said something kind of like the way you did, General. He joined the Army right at the end of World War II. He was too young. He had forged papers, got in the Army. Went in as a buck private. Wound up as he was Sergeant E6 when at about 18 years old. Went to Korea and had a combat field commission. I think the Marines call them Mustangs. The Army called him, battlefield commission. And he retired. He got out of the Army as a full colonel. He went kind of rogue in the Army because he said, you know, he got disillusioned with the politics and stuff. He said the same thing. He said that it was, you know, had to do with he said he thought mostly heart, with your heart, your upbringing. But I really admire that fella. He was, to my knowledge, the youngest full colonel in Vietnam. And a lot of people said he was the best battalion commander probably in Vietnam, on the American side of the forces anyway. But, you know, General, I tell you what, once again, I just want to tell you, I was kind of worried about you because everybody that knows me knows that I'm a worry wart. I worry about people that I love, people that I'm brothers with. I was kind of afraid something might have happened to you, but I'm so glad I could get back in touch with you and so glad that you're on tonight. And when we come back, General, I'm going to ask you what's going on in your neck of the woods over there in Croatia. Then we're going to talk about the hellish deterioration of our government here in the United States. People, hang on to your seats. We'll be right back to General Glasnevik in just a minute.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
A Venus 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I just have a love gushing out of my heart for you people out there. I really do. We do this for you. You know, sometimes I enjoy the show. Sometimes it gets to be like work. But sometimes during the week, I'll think, well, you know, why the hell are we doing all this? The money, the expense, the timing, you know, the vitriol you get from people. But then, by God, I tell you what, come Saturday, man, you're ready for the battle. I know everybody I know in radio is the same way, be it Keith, be it James, be it Sam. We're all, I guess, just warriors at heart. And I know the general, I know he feels the same way. But before we go on, I just want to mention people one more time. Please pray for Rich Hamblin. I know the general knows Rich. If he, Rich was up at Montgomery Bell with us when the general was up there. Well, I guess it's going on 2 years ago now, you know. And please pray for him. He's one of our brothers that were in Charlottesville with him. His heart, man, he's having – it's just flip-flopping. It's you know, having all these, you know, these atrial fibs and weird tachycardias and stuff. So he'll be going to the hospital, like I said, February 2nd. But just pray. I mean, pray hard. Prayer does achieve great things. And then also pray for Jim Zim in Arizona. And also James Edwards' dad. Just keep them in your prayers, if you will. In general, before we go on, I know I'm kind of out of order, but this dear friend sent this letter last week, and I butchered it. I'm going to read this letter right quick, like, because he went to a lot of trouble reading this, writing this letter, and then I'm tongue-tied. I start off kind of screwed up because I messed our computer up, and me and Sam and Bethany had to get it fixed on the fly, but we're going great now. Anyway, this letter is from Steve. This is from Steve from Maryland. And he says, I'm going to finish the whole thing this time. He said, here's a little lettuce to support Blood River Radio. I've heard your show ever since August. You and especially Gene Andrews are really doing it. You've nailed it. Really down the first 75-year business of the Holocaust. Now, this part I didn't read last week, I don't think. If you can say these words on the show, and here's his words, a war started on Good Friday that never ended between the Jews and Jesus. It goes on now. The fake myth of 6 million Jews in a Holocaust is meant to suppress the passion and death of Jesus as far as the suffering goes. Now I'm going to turn it over. He says, the Jews have their fake saints like Anne Francis. Annie Frank. They have their so-called shrines in all major cities, plus their phony Holy Remembrance Days. Better than, he said, and they place that above Christmas and Easter, and they certainly do. And here's what he says. He says, the answer to the question, why for 2,000 years have the reprobate Jews been the reproach of nations? He says, that answer is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And since he went to the trouble of doing all that, I went to that chapter. It's by King James Bible, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, 14 through 17. Here it goes. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the utmost. That's what Steve from Maryland sent, and he went to a lot of trouble writing that letter and sending me that passage. So I was felt duty bound to read that. But before we go, in general, would you like to make a comment on what Steve from Maryland wrote in that letter?
Well, I think that the writer basically he underlined an important point, because we are victims of this disinformation campaign, and the word disinformation comes from the Russian desinformatia, which Stalin coined. It's basically agitprop, and the biggest success of the Jewish lot, the Chosenites, is that they've enabled. We see the world through a filter which they've created, but it's a false filter. Like Orthodox Jews believe that Christ was God, forgive me, but this is what they believe: that he's a rogue rabbi, that he's roasting in hell, covered with feces. And that he was the bastard son of a Roman soldier. So you can insult Christianity with no consequences whatsoever in the media, film, and so on and so forth. But even in Saudi Arabia and Arab countries, which are Islamic, some of them are Islamic caliphates, but you cannot insult, if you insulted Christ or his mother, the way you do in the West, you would probably face beheading, amputation, or worse, because although they don't believe that Christ is the Son of God and our Savior, they believe he's one of the prophets and his mother. So this is part of the Jewish construct. We forget also that some of the greatest criminals in history were Jewish. For example, we mentioned Lazar Kaganovich, the executor in the Ukraine, where millions of Christians were killed, and two of the biggest torturers for the NKVD, torturers, people that gouged out people's eyes, broke kneecaps with hammers, were also Jewish. And they seem to have what they've done is they've occupied the historical narrative, they've occupied the vocabulary, because they're afraid of our arguments. We have arguments, they only have rhetoric. For example, if they want to eliminate you from the media arena, they call you a clero-fascist, an anti-Semite, a racist, Holocaust denier. These terms mean absolutely nothing. They would never stand up to the even the simplest scrutiny. So I think your writer is hit the nail on the head also with that letter.
Yes, sir. I totally agree with him. And I tell you what, you did a great job, an eloquent job of breaking that down, General. You know, you're absolutely right. But I didn't know. You know what? I'm glad you told me and told the audience. I didn't know that you get in severe trouble in an Arab country for insulting Jesus like that. You talking about an Orwellian situation when you can in this country here, who's supposed to be a Christian country, and you can criticize Christ. You can talk, like you said, you can call him the bastard son. I've read that the Jews call him in their Talmud, their old Babylonian Talmud. They say, just like you said, he was the bastard son of a Roman soldier from a prostitute. She was, his mother was, they said, was a prostitute, and even worse than that. But it amazes me how you can get by with that in this country right here. You know, you can criticize Jesus all to hell like that, but in a country, the paradox of it is, most Christians here in this country, we probably have more Protestants than we have Catholics and Orthodox Christians, but this, especially the Southern Baptist Church, they have elevated Israel and the Jews to, I'm not kidding. I think they worship Israel and the Jews, even they praise them above Christ, General. And I was baptized in a Baptist church and I left. I couldn't hack it. You know, it's like you have the Jews, and then to the right of the Jews, you have God Almighty, and to the right, way out there somewhere in the periphery, you have Jesus. You really don't need him. You know, the Jews really don't need Jesus. They have their own special way. But that's the way the especially the Southern Baptists here in the United States are. I mean, they will literally. I know I'm kind of on a rampage right here now. But they will literally tase you and fight you. I've had that happen to me about a year ago when I had some signs out in front of the largest Baptist church here in West Tennessee, Bellevue Baptist. I was out there by myself. Had a few signs that just said, all it said was open borders for Israel, gun control for Israel. And hell, people came out of that church boiling out of there like a wasp nest all over me, man. I finally had to retreat out of there because I know one of them had a taser and there was a lot more of them than was me, and it was getting pretty rough. But I'm rambling on, but you're so right there. Do you think we'll ever change, General?
Well, it's an ongoing battle, the battle between evil and good, darkness and light. But I think everyone has to get involved, because the greatest sin today, I think, of most people, this internet, Instagram generation, is apathy. And apathy is the new atheism. Unless we have people like yourself, Monica Schrader, and your other guests, will stand up and speak the truth. Unless we seek the truth and unless we disseminate that truth, it's part of a cultural battle. It's an ongoing battle.
Hang on just a minute, General. We'll come right back. I can't believe this show's going. We're already going to our second break. Dear Blood River Radio family, hang on. Me and the General will be right back in just a minute.
listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Up to 25,000 National Guard troops are heading to Washington, D.C. ahead of President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration on Wednesday. A Guard spokesman saying their mission will be to support federal law enforcement and protect the nation's capital. The Secret Service is in charge of security preparations. Reaction still coming in to President-elect Joe Biden's coronavirus stimulus plan that he unveiled on Thursday night. The plan calls for an increase in the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour and also sending money to state and local governments that were affected by the coronavirus pandemic. Regarding all this extra spending, Job Creators CEO Alfredo Ortiz reminds everyone.
So they're not worried about how they're going to pay for it because they just think we can keep printing money and there's going to be no impact.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Federal prosecutors walked back the allegation of a plot to kill lawmakers during the mob attack on the U.S. Capitol. That announcement coming from acting U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Michael Sherwin. That announcement seemed to contradict statements made by federal prosecutors in Arizona, who said Thursday that rioters wanted to capture and assassinate elected officials. The oldest U.S. living Marine has passed away.
The oldest living U.S. Marine, Dorothy Schmidt Cole, has died. Her daughter and only child confirmed her mother's death at the age of 107 in North Carolina. The Charlotte Observer reports Cole enlisted as one of the earliest female Marine reservists following the bombing of Pearl Harbor after she was deemed too short for the Navy. She learned to fly an airplane at just 4'11" and persuaded the Marine Corps to let her be a pilot. She enlisted in July of 1943. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we're right back. We're going into our third segment. Man, this show flies. I'm telling you, I've got so much material here, so many things I want to ask in general. My head is just swimming, so I'm trying to cherry pick some notes and news articles here. I'm going to ask the general a few things here. The general we're talking about is the one and only General Nick Glastovic. Man, what a biography that guy has. A warrior's warrior, a man's man, a soldier's soldier. I'm not exaggerating at all. This man is one hell of a man. Anyway, you know, General, I'm sure you're fully aware of I'm going to copy a phrase from, that you use, the Luciferian Bolshevik Satanist, Jew communist have taken over. Actually, the revolution almost, I guess, is kind of over, and the Luciferian communists have won. They out and out stole the election. I've been told that actually President Trump won a landslide, but they stole it. And they being the Democrat Bolsheviks, they stole it in broad daylight in front of our eyes and dared us to do anything about it. And, you know, we had a man called in. We played a clip on this show about 3 weeks ago about a so-called socialist who called into another talk show here, Sean Hannity's talk show, and he told the lady on Sean Hannity, he said that basically the Bolsheviks have won. He said that the Christians had a good run here in the United States from 1776. But he said now it's over, and we just need to accept the defeat. And in some ways, he's right. He said they have the machine. They've got the Congress. They've got the Senate. They've got the executive branch, the presidency. They have the courts. The courts would not even hear any of the evidence that people like Sidney Powell would, and Lynn Wood, attorneys for President Clinton, that they would try to, the evidence they tried to bring before the courts wouldn't even listen, wouldn't even see any of it. So that's what they've done. And I'm getting to a point, too, in the question, General. You know, I think it was, last week, a week or so ago, when we had the big demonstration in Washington, D.C., by about 1 million people, pro-Trump people, and some of them went into the Capitol building. And I was going to ask you, maybe if it's a bridge too far, I kind of, when the people went into the Capitol building, rhetorically speaking, I was thinking that, I know it's oversimplification, maybe like to say a bridge too far. I kind of liken that to the storming of the Bastille when during the French Revolution. I don't know much about that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the wrong people. Maybe it was the bad people that stormed the Bastille. But they were going in there for, you know, to try to this is the only thing left to us, we the people. We had the election stolen from us. We tried everything under the sun peaceably. We protested peacefully. We protested in Charlottesville 3 years ago peaceably. And we have people in prison that didn't do anything. The FBI is arresting right now, systematically arresting people that were at the D.C. rally. I mean, so in our people, even our own brothers criticizing the people who went into the Capitol building. I mean, I'm thinking, what the hell is left? I mean, what else is left, General? And with that, I'm going to segue into this question. Another brother, he didn't want his name mentioned because he had this high-profile job. He wanted me to ask you if what we see going on here in the United States has anything to do, if it mirrors in any way their Croatian Spring. And I will admit, I know very little about the Croatian Spring. This fellow here apparently knew a lot about it. I wished he'd call me yesterday, but he called me probably about 90 minutes prior to the show. So, General, what about that? Did the what went on in the Croatian Spring, and does it mirror?
Exactly, Eddie. Certainly there are parallels. In 1971, Croatia was still part of the Yugoslav communist. It was a republic in the. It was basically a one-party tyranny, and Croatians protested. They wanted less centralism. They wanted to have their own language. They wanted to have cultural autonomy. So what happened was it was a purge. Thousands of people lost their jobs. 10,000 people were under investigation. Some were jailed. Some ended up in political prisons where they were force-fed. They were subjected to electroshock therapy. So certainly there's a parallel. But I think in every country, I think basically America, when I watched the storming of the on Capitol Hill there, I remembered what Stalin, and Stalin said this about America. He said, America's strength is threefold, I think he said, and is based on patriotism, morality, and spirituality. So there are still people. We should not despair, because history is not, it goes in cycles. But as far as the French Revolution is concerned, that in a way started the ball rolling with these Bolshevik Satanists. Because in Paris at the time, there were about 300 Masonic lodges that launched that revolution. And eventually it morphed into the Paris Commune and then the Bolshevik Revolution, which killed basically from 1917 to today about 110 million people in the name of equality. Today, one-fifth of the world lives under communism. Look at China, re-education camps. But actually, we have re-education camps in the West. They're not called re-education camps. There are universities where people are brainwashed. The critical theory in the Frankfurt School, which is also a Jewish vehicle for taking over the cultural landscape, has destroyed our universities, has destroyed the humanities. As I said, they've occupied the historical narrative, which is a false narrative. So we have to fight for the truth. So I think, Eddie, your parallels are with the Bastille are to a certain extent correct, but the visual part of it, but the reasons for American patriots converging on the Hill and the Bastille are they're quite different.
Yes, sir. I was not really sure or comfortable in my assessment. I must admit I haven't studied the storming of the Bastille. I believe that Thomas Jefferson, I've been a big admirer of Thomas Jefferson, but he had some weird things in his closet, weird, you know, kind of like skeletons in his closet. I know he was a big, as a matter of fact, I think it was Thomas Jefferson said that the tree of liberty must be watered by the blood of the tyrants and the saints from time to time, or the tyrants and patriots from time to time. But I've also said that he kind of leaned toward the people who started it, who were in that French Revolution, and they were, I think, what they call Jacobins, probably the same type of people you're talking about. Jacobins were kind of like with the Luciferians.
I can just interject it. Yeah, sorry, Eddie, to cut you off.
Oh, you go ahead.
We have in the French Revolution, we have a so-called aristocide, where they burnt monasteries, it killed all the clergy. And actually, the French Revolution, it went on for years. In the northwest of France, you had a region called the Vendée region. And it's probably the first religious genocide where these revolutionaries, they killed Christians. But they first killed pregnant women, so they would not give birth to Christians. Of course, France was Catholic. And we see this morphing into the Bolshevik Revolution, where 200,000 members of the Greek Orthodox clergy were killed in the most horrible ways. Archbishops, seminarians, Stalin destroyed, and the syphilitic Lenin, who died of syphilis. They say he died in his wheelchair howling at the moon. And they destroyed 44,000, raised 44,000 Christian churches, and blew up the biggest place of worship in Eastern Christendom, the Church of Christ the Savior. The three generations of the Romanovs, Russian emperors, had built. And Stalin watched this destruction from the balcony of his apartment in Moscow. So the enemy has not changed. You being a soldier, we must know the enemy, because a man without knowledge is not only his own hostage. He's his own hostage, then the hostage of everyone else. And we're totally idiotized by this Frankfurt School of Social Engineering, which is basically a Jewish construct.
Yes, sir. You know, one of our brothers, I was telling people about, he just said that there was lots of Freemasons among the founders, and that Jefferson actually admired and praised the Jacobins. I wonder if he knew who the hell he was, if he knew he was praising. But one thing, also, Rich is kind of like you. He has the fact. I wish I had the memory like you do, General and Rich. But how many synagogues were destroyed in Eastern Europe under Stalin, General?
Well, most of the Khazars, the Khazars, we know, they occupied 50% of the Bolshevik apparatus, the government at the beginning was Jewish.
General, we got to go to another break. I swear, I think we're in a time warp. Folks, we'll be right back after this quick break. We'll go right back to the General.
Our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, welcome back. Like we said earlier in the show, it is January the 16th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2021. There's no other name under the sun in which men might be saved other than Jesus Christ. He is the only way. And we are with, just in case you were, just got tuned in, we were with General Nick Glastovic, our brother, truly a brother in Christ, and a man to be admired, a soldier's soldier, a general's general. Anyway, we're right back with the general. General, we'll be firing up in a few minutes. I've got a few audio clips for the people. It'd be a treat for the people. From big-time leaders in the United States, a Kamala Harris, Maxine Waters, is she's a representative from the state of the United States representative out of the state of California. We got one from United States Senator Chuck Schumer, Kamala Harris, you know, the new ongoing vice president, Hillary Clinton, you name it, and they're all saying pretty much the same thing. They're preaching violence in the streets, violence against white people, violence against Christians, and they get by with it. Chuck Schumer, we have a clip of him. We may not get time to play it. We have a clip of Chuck Schumer, a United States senator, of course, Jewish, of course, Chuck Schumer. He's calling for, he's telling two of the Supreme Court justices that they have sowed the wind. He told them, he's quote, he said, "You sowed the wind, now you're going to reap the whirlwind because you haven't been making decisions like we want you to make, you know, these Luciferian communists." But if we get time, we'll play one or two of those clips in a minute. But, you know, General, I probably say this too over the show, over the airways time after time after time, but I think people will, you know, if they're like me, they learn by repetition. Okay. Well, you know, I think we're under probably a spiritual battle. Anyway, we're going to play this clip, General, and we're going to get you to comment on it. So go ahead and play that clip, Miss Bethany.
Clear that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had.
That's right.
For the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not, and we should not.
That was Kamala Harris, people. That's your new incoming vice president. And she'll probably, a lot of people say she's probably going to be the president. And if you notice that, General, she said, even after the election's over, they're not going to stop. Which begs the question, stop what? Stop the attack on white Christian people in the United States of America. What do you think about that, General?
Well, it's frightening what we're hearing here. And there's a saying, if you want to study history, first study the historian. Who is Kamala Harris? Apparently, she has no relation to the to the African-American community. She's basically, I think people, also there's another saying that if people vote for corrupt politicians, for moral relativists, for traitors, they are not victims of that regime, they're accomplices. So it's a spiritual battle above all, and people like Kamala Harris must be exposed for what they are. And because tyrannies are not improved. They can only be removed by force of arms. We had that same problem here, but just a warning, we won the battle, we won the war, but we're losing the peace because the former communists are back in power, just as the socialists are in the United States. So it is a global battle. I'll just mention Mike Peck. He was one of, you may have heard, he was a decorated American soldier from the Vietnam War. So he was here with a training team in Croatia, actually when I was in Bosnia, and he said something to me. But at the time, I didn't ponder that, what he said, but after the war, it sank in. He said this war will be over, but who will be in power after the war is finished? We neglected that. I neglected to act on that bit of thought. So what happened, basically, this Crypsis, these socialists, these Bolshevik Satanists, they're like an animal. In the animal kingdom, they conceal themselves from a predator, and they camouflage themselves. They're basically political chameleons. So you have the same problem in the United States. We have the same problem in Europe. But most Croatians are aware of what America is, patriotism, morality, and spirituality. And the majority of people that I know, especially veterans, were solidly behind President Trump in this election.
Yes, sir, they were. And, you know, which is mind-boggling to me, General, is everybody here in the United States and probably all over the world, they know that President Trump won by probably a landslide. That's what I'm hearing, landslide. And although he really didn't, to mimic, to voice what a lot of our brothers say about Trump, he really didn't do a lot for us people. We have people in prison, you know, on our side. He's allowed us, like the people in Charlottesville, to go to prison. And he can't do anything right now about the people that are being rounded up and arrested who were at the Washington protest a couple of weeks, a week or so ago. But, you know, he's let people go to prison. But you know, I think I've often wondered why they hate him so bad. And, you know, but anyway, getting back to what you said, General, we tried, and I'm going to, I guess, repeat myself. We tried here in the United States. We've been protesting peaceably for 50 years or more. I've had one of my brothers has a radio show, and he has another guest on, and I'm just going to kind of repeat a few things they said. And I 1,000% disagree with him. They said that the number one thing we have to do, he says, we have to educate people. We have to let them know what's going on in the world, and we have to get them to act peaceably. You know, the question I would have for them, that, in fact, I saw this person in person, man to man, about 2-3 months ago, and I said, you know, you've been doing the same thing as long as I have or longer, but you've been doing a different route. You've been preaching peaceably. You've been demonstrating peaceably. You've been urging peace, peace, peace. Never violence under any circumstance. But, and I pointed out that, you know, this country here in the United States, General, was born under violence. In 1776, it was a bloody long war. You know, the Magna Carta in England, I think they forced the King of England at the point of the sword to sign that document. The war, you know, 1860-65 United States, World War I, World War II, the Spanish-American War, you know, War of 1812, the Indian Wars, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. It goes on and on and on. I don't know how anybody can sit there and say that we're going to get anything done without violence. Sooner or later, by God, people have to realize we have to, so-called, what I say, to affix the bayonet, rhetorical speaking. You know, we have to affix bayonets. We're being pushed around. They're saying that they're going to take us to the death camps. You can read the rhetoric from these people that are coming into office. They're going to do with us. They're going to do away with us. The fellow who called in Sean Hannity's show about 3 weeks ago said that they want to kill about 73 million people here in the United States. Those pretty much are the Trump voters. But General, has liberty ever, and to your knowledge, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, has liberty ever been won in the history of the world that you know of, and you're a better historian than I am, without violence, without people killing and being killed?
Well, this is part of the human genome. Is part of history is that we see a constant battle between, as I said before, between darkness and light. Like even the founding fathers of the church, for example, St. Peter Damian, he fought against in a Europe that was under attack. There were violent incursions from Vikings, Muslims, and Magyars. He fought his own battle, and the church survived the first 300 years. And here we are today speaking about Christ. But I think that we must be ready to fight, because in Croatia, what happened was that the communist Yugoslav army disarmed all the territorial defense forces. I mentioned this before, and we were left basically with hunting rifles. We had nothing under 14.5 millimeter to fight with. They had the heavy artillery, the aircraft, so we basically had to seize weapons from these bases. We put them under siege, and we armed ourselves. And it was a long and bloody war that lasted 4 years. So when I go to church in Croatia here in Zagreb, behind one of the main altar is a cenotaph with 16,000 Croatian soldiers that were killed in this last war, fighting the communists and the mujahideen in Bosnia. For a country of 4 million something, it's a fairly heavy price to pay, I always remind myself. But we must always be ready, and we must know who the enemy is. I think the fellow you mentioned before, he made a very important point. We must win the cultural battle. If you're going to fight on all fronts, first we have to inform people as who the enemy is and what his tactics are. This is blocked in the mainstream media, because in the media, in today's media, as you know, in America, Eddie, there's no analytic neutrality. You know who owns CNN, who owns Associated Press, the New York Times, and so on and so forth. So we must win the cultural battle simultaneously.
Yes, sir. You just mentioned the media. I have this little strip on my wall I've had for quite some time. I won't name their names, but the leader of ABC, CBS, NBC, ABC, Disney, CBS, and MSNBC, they're all Jews. They're all openly Zionist, pro-Israel, anti-Christian Jews, each and every one of them. And to rub salt in the wound, even Disney, you know, Walt Disney said he would never have a Jew in his organization. Bob Iger, a straight-up Christian-hating, Israeli, you know, loving Zionist Jew, owns that company. The media is totally taken over by them. I know we're about to run out of time. General, would you like to stay over the second hour with Gene Andrews?
Well, you're the boss. You're the helmsman and the captain of this ship, so I will follow your orders.
Well, I'm no surgeon. I tell you what, why don't you just hang on? Because I'm the most disorganized person in the world. I'll make these scripts, and half the time they go in the garbage. So if you want to, if you'll hang on, and I'll play host, I'll play the MC, and you and Gene can run the second hour. So if you will, just hang on, General. It would be an honor to have you join us in the second hour. So we'll be going to a break in just a minute. But before we go to the break, I'm just going to put this out. You know, like I said, to repeat myself, we the people of the United States, for the past 50, 75 years, we've tried every peaceful method that I know of. We really have. And we failed miserably. Every mechanism that we tried, every operations we've done from Charlottesville, you name it, we have failed. We've been defeated. So what is left to us? We'll discuss that in the second hour. People holding your seat, join me, the one and only General Nick Glasnovic, and Gene Andrews will be coming on in the second hour, and maybe Lee Cockrell may be calling in. Hang on, people. See you in a few minutes.